Our next speaker is Kaya Bagg. Every time, as Kaya and I discussed her presentation at this conference, that I sort of gave a little description of who she is and what she does, she would always tell me, well, I don't just do that. I would say, you know, Kaya organized groups of people to go to the anti-globalization demonstrations in Washington and Windsor, and she'd say, well, I do a lot more than that, and so on. I'm not going to be able, however, to enumerate all of these things. I will tell you that she is a student activist at the University of Guelph. She has been an editor, contributor, coordinator of some of the following, and contributor to some of the following publications, The Peak, New Socialist, Student Activist, and among other things, she has organized student and other activists to participate in anti-globalization actions in Washington and in Windsor. Kaya.
Thanks, David. I guess what I'll be addressing in my talk is how a structured anti-capitalist movement would operate on a local level and in sort of specific campaigns. I'm coming from the perspective of an activist who works in a small city, Guelph, that to a certain extent relies on engaging with activists from larger centers to do our local work. In my presentation, I'll be dealing with some practical concerns in building a structured movement and the political problems that these concerns pose. Rather than offering answers, I hope to provide points of departure for people to discuss tonight, as well as within their own activist communities. Much of the activism that I've done in the last few years is very similar to the project that this conference has explored in the last 2 days. For the last 3 years, I've been involved with the Direct Action Solidarity Network, also known as DASN, a group that has tried to form the kind of structured movement we've been discussing today. The Direct Action Solidarity Network initially started as a way of linking radicals within the student movement. The network originally came together around the publication of a newspaper called The Student Activist. This publication was meant to share information and build links between various struggles on a pan-Canadian basis. Eventually, the mandate of DASN, the DASN project, became to network radicals in general and not just student activists. DASN is actually currently in a period of inactivity, and that's a bit of a euphemism for people who are involved. And a lot of that has to do with because we were not able to figure out sustainable and practical ways of maintaining a network that spanned across the entire Canadian state. And many of the issues that I will discuss today are based on my experiences in DASN. I think for the interest of time, if for some reason my examples aren't clear, I'm happy to clarify things in the discussion. What I'd like to do is outline some obstacles I see in developing a broad anti-capitalist network, problems that arise when organizing across a broad geographical space, the importance of a structured anti-capitalist movement, and considerations that need to be taken into account for anti-capitalist organizing. Firstly, some of the obstacles I see to building a structured anti-capitalist movement are circular in nature. As Hemani Banerjee pointed out last night, and as I think the design of the lovely poster for this conference implies, our main task is to build a left. In order to bring together a broad anti-capitalist movement, we need strong anti-capitalist organizing at the local level. We need a strong local activism to maintain a broader network. A broad network may mean that some activists can't do much local activism because their area of work lies in maintaining the network or working on campaigns that have a large scope. This kind of organizing requires a lot of people to pick up the slack on the local level. At the same time, local organizing can be strengthened by a broader support network, so you have sort of a catch-22 situation. Another complex problem is that building an anti-capitalist movement is a double process. An anti-capitalist analysis has to be developed and adopted on a wide scale, as well as figuring out some kind of apparatus for organizing. Some other practical considerations involve energy and resources. A major problem that I've encountered in my activism is the lack of money available to do much-needed work. The financial needs of a structured movement may be a drain financially at the local level. We need to make sure that financing a network does not compromise local fundraising efforts. Many of us as activists have specific areas of concern or organizational commitments. Consequently, it is important that participants of a structured movement are not further burdened. More meetings and work are hard to make time for, so how do we combat burnout in our organizing? Which leads to my next point. Not only do anti-capitalist activists have obstacles to overcome in order to get a structured movement underway, we have to then deal with problems that arise out of organizing that spans a broad geography. Local structures already exist, so how do we link up various activist efforts without creating too much bureaucracy? We need to figure out sustainable ways of organizing a large group and ensuring accountability on a wide level. Moreover, we have to address the tendency to become more inaccessible as the scope of organizing increases. What I mean is that some people can't afford the time and money required to go summit hopping or going from conference to conference. We need to avoid uprooting people and resources and losing sight of the local. At the same time, a network can have this a reverse sort of danger. The local may be conflated with the general, and I think Toronto-centrism or even Guelph-centrism is an example of what I'm talking about. Despite the challenges I've mentioned, a structured anti-capitalist movement can complement and strengthen local activist efforts. The importance of a structured movement is that it brings together various activists from different areas of work and regions, various regions, to create a system of support and solidarity for each other. Local activist efforts can be strengthened through dialogue with other activists regarding strategies. It's through coming together that we as activists can come up with the most innovative and effective ways of organizing. We can broaden our analysis through sharing. Connecting with activists outside of one's own circles is important for inspiring and rejuvenating our local efforts. A network of support helps combat the political isolation anti-capitalist activists may feel, which in turn may lead to demoralization. Furthermore, through a structured movement, we can pool and share resources. Large network will help coordinate activists and bring together people interested in similar areas of work. There are specific challenges that emerge when organizing along anti-capitalist principles. What is the form that this structured movement will take? Is it an informal network, or is it a tight organization? And how large is the scope? Are we trying to organize regionally, provincially, or across the Canadian state? Are we radicalizing already present campaigns, or are we creating separate radical campaigns? Are we a group that brings activists together to share information and resources? Or are we a group that people do activism through? As well, how can we consolidate already present anti-capitalist strains within movements? To conclude, I'd like to put forward some points of discussion regarding the needs that are integral to organizing an anti-capitalist movement. I think it's important that the structures we create come out of action. Creating bureaucracy before there's a need can kill momentum. We should look to ways we organize action to instruct how we operate on a day-to-day basis. For example, I think looking at the way affinity groups and actions might be interesting as a way of looking at organizing ongoing networking between anti-globalization protests. Autonomous groups that work together in action may lay the groundwork for bringing together many activists beyond the carnival against capitals and the like. I also think that creativity, fun, innovation, and diversity of forms will help broaden and sustain an anti-capitalist movement. As well, for me, anti-capitalism means anti-oppression necessarily. The fight against capitalism means challenging white dominance and patriarchy head-on and developing our understanding of how different systems of domination intersect and buttress one another. An anti-oppression agenda needs to be our agenda, not an afterthought. We can start this process by dismantling systems of domination within our own organizing. Such a focus is not a distraction from the real issue. It is the issue. White dominance, class privilege, and male dominance are not just problems that exist out there, but rather within as well. Furthermore, it is fundamental to rebuilding the left that activists make accessibility a collective responsibility. How can we rebuild the left when we duplicate barriers to participation that exist in society at large, such as inadequate childcare, oppressive behavior, etc.? I just like to wrap things up by saying that we as anti-capitalists have many challenges ahead of us. The main task is to put thoughts into action. I haven't offered much in terms of proposals today, but I hope that the discussion period following the presentations will prove fruitful in that we can share our experiences and come up with some concrete plans for what to do after this conference. And that being said, I'd just like to turn over the mic to David to introduce John Clark. Thank you.